Emerson Radio Program at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Have I played you the creepiest sound ever?
I haven't, have I?
No, no. I want to hear it, though.
Let's see. Where did I put this? Creepiest sound ever. What is today? Monday? All right. And we'll talk to Jim Roop here to say, Jim Roop might want to be in on this, actually. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio Program from Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent and dude, Jim Roop. Hello, sir.
How are you?
What's up, brother man?
I'm just hanging, man.
Excellent. Speaking of hanging, and I really do mean speaking of hanging. So you know what I love is found comedy or found, sort of found sound, what I mean by that is, there are two kinds of sort of comedic sound. There's the Scotty J kind, and I don't know that you've really heard any of Scotty J's audio masterworks, but Scotty J goes out of his way. He creates a lot of sounders, introductory pieces, theme songs, etc., for different sections of this program, and they're all sort of distinctive. And by distinctive, I mean horrible. And by horrible, I mean unique. But he creates these introductory themes. I'm trying to find one here to sort of play. Let's see if I can find one here, if I can find a piece of Scotty J production. Okay, I'm going to play, let's see here. Let's see if I can find one that is sort of definitive. I'll play this. See if this does. This is his delivery, because we have a lot of delivery drivers who listen to this program. And we have, for a long time, wanted a sounder for the delivery drivers to indicate when one of them is calling in. Let's see if we've got one here. This is...
Yeah.
And so it's just a bunch of random sound effects with bagpipes in the background. And, you know, there's a certain amount of magic there. But, you know, one of the things that I love is when you find something or when something is given to you that it's just perfect the way it is because it's a piece of audio that just kind of fell through society's cracks and then you discover it later and it's gold.
And you have such audio.
I have such audio and you're going to appreciate it. And here's why you're going to appreciate it, because it's Michael Jackson oriented. Now, we will just refer to her as the lovely Jen. She's the wife of a good friend of ours, our friend Aaron, Geek in the City Duran, who's a contributor to this program. His wife was at a swap meet with... This sounds so impossibly cute. His wife was at a swap meet with my wife this weekend. And they were, like, doing something or other, and they were, like, looking through old records and whatever. And she found the best thing. She found this... It's an old vinyl record that accompanied the movie E.T. And it was sort of a one-hour dramatization, like a synopsis of E.T., boiled down and put on two sides of a vinyl record read by Michael Jackson. So it was Michael Jackson sort of telling the E.T. story with appropriate musical accompaniment and so forth. That's gold, and it was a dollar. That's gold in and of itself. And it's got some song that Michael Jackson wrote and recorded just for that. So I'm going to play for you now. And she went, she got about 30 seconds into it, and she knew that, like, I had to have it. Because there's fantastic little pieces of audio here. So I'm going to play you some of this Michael Jackson sound. Now, keep in mind, this is not faked or edited or altered. These are just excerpts. These are actual excerpts from Michael Jackson reading the E.T. story on this record from 1983. Are you ready, Jim Roop?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's just... I'll play these in no particular order.
But he so blew his mind.
They're all creepy sounding. The creepy thing about that one is the sound at the end.
I thought that was Jim Roop.
No.
No, that wasn't me.
No, Michael Jackson. Let's listen again.
But he so blew his mind.
All right.
Wow.
How about this one?
Balls up into the air and floated them there above everybody's head.
Let's hear that again.
Balls up into the air and floated them there above everybody's head.
How great is that?
Oh, my gosh.
No, I got more.
But how do you share the greatest secret in the world?
Let's see. We've got this one.
The coffee spilled from her cup.
I don't hear it.
Oh, no, I'm not getting that.
I can't hear that.
Okay.
So he raised that magic finger to me and gave them a lift.
Let's see. The magic finger. We've got this. We've got to...
At the point of his finger.
So what do you do with something as wild as this weird, squashy little guy with a head shaped like an eggplant?
What the hell does that even mean?
Please say that again.
That's the Ed McCarthy new intro.
Seriously, let's play that one again.
So what do you do with something as wild as this weird, squashy little guy with a head shaped like an eggplant?
And then the child screaming in the background, which is sort of the piece de resistance. Let's see. Do we have the... I just want about... Let's see.
We found a can of something that looked pretty good. Beer. To him, it seemed perfectly harmless.
Yeah.
What? This is gold.
Oh, this one doesn't play. It's where and it actually says, because I guess there was Elliot's brother in E.T. was named Michael. This one won't play. Oh, that's really frustrating. Where it says, Michael found the little guy floating face down. That one doesn't want to play, sadly. I'll have to see if I can get that one again later. Let's see. Where did I, let's play that one again, though. We've got the, let's see, Perfectly Harmless, this one's called.
We found a can of something that looked...
That's funny right there.
Beer. To him, it seemed perfectly harmless.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, would you like to hear the best? This, and again, this is from...
Oh, you've been saving the best for last?
I have. Hold on. Because I'm OCD, I got to stop and tie my shoe.
Why?
Because my shoe's untied and I can't do the show.
Are you walking while doing the show?
No, I'm not. I just stepped
in. He really does have OCD.
All right. So, this is the best. And again, these are real. This is from Michael Jackson reading... a children's dramatization of E.T. on a record from 1983. Let's all listen now to the single creepiest thing Michael Jackson has ever said.
He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious. The tastiest thing he'd ever eaten in the whole universe.
Let's hear that one again, shall we?
He put the little round object in his mouth.
Wait for it.
It was delicious.
I think that was his defense, wasn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh God.
I gotta hear it once more.
He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious.
It's the giggle at the end.
So that's really him? That's not somebody pretending to be him?
No, it is. I wish I had it here. Well, I wish I had it here. Let's see if I've got actually... Okay, the actual CD is still in my office, so I don't have it here. But I have the entire record. Jen is keeping the original, because that's gold. You don't let that go. But she burned the entire thing for me. She pulled out some selected cuts, and then she burned the entire record. I have the whole thing, too. I have both sides. It's like an hour-long total. I also have this hideous song.
Instead of a best of next time when we take time off, we're totally playing the Michael Jackson
totally.
Record.
I have, let's see if I have this here. I have this song that he recorded, actually. Let's see. Is my computer up?
Uh-huh.
Let's see if this one wants to... why is this not playing? Oh, this is frustrating.
You put the little round...
No. Oh, this doesn't want to play. Okay, I'll have to look in this a little bit. He recorded a song called Someone in the Dark, which is a song, I guess, presumably about E.T. I've got the lyrics here. And it's some terrible produced by Quincy Jones piece of crap. But it does have this line about, like... let's see, where are the lyrics here? Someone in the Dark... When someone in the dark reaches out to you and touches off a spark that comes shining through. Blah, 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 my friend, that someone in the dark was you. Promise me we'll always be walking the world together, hand in the hand, secret friends, where dreams never end. Someone in the dark. It's all very, very creepy.
He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious. Oh, man.
I'm never going to get tired of that. Excellent. How's your day going, sir?
Now much better.
See, that Rick Emerson gives. He gives and gives. Oh, God.
That's just beautiful.
It is. No, it's gold. I mean, it's just, that's what I mean about found comedy. It's not that I don't love some of Scotty's pre-produced things and so forth, but I mean, that is just, we didn't even have to change that.
You know, if I can go back to that original thing with Scotty and the sound for delivery truck drivers.
Yes.
Why didn't you just use the opening theme to King of Queens?
I couldn't even, you know what, can I tell you, I've never watched that show.
Delivery.
What is the opening thing to King of Queens?
It's a delivery truck reference.
All right, so Scotty, are you familiar with are you familiar with the... All right. Oh, Scotty is insisting that we play the Britney. Do we have the Britney watch open? We do a Britney watch here whenever there's breaking Britney news. Let's play this for you. This is Scotty J's Britney watch theme. So there you go. Just makes no sense. Let's play the close, too. Here's the close. That was the opener. Here's the closer.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
And see, really,
there was a lot of production back then.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, you don't know the half of it, because that's like the only thing he's ever produced that doesn't have goddamn bagpipes playing. Seriously, everything he makes has bagpipes playing in the background for no real reason at all.
Is he Scottish or Irish?
No, I don't believe so.
Is he a cop?
No, I think he's just white. He's just some white guy from the suburbs. I think he just likes bagpipes.
I hear something for you just in. Paris Hilton placed on 36 months probation in order to pay fines after pleading no contest to alcohol-related reckless driving.
And so what does that mean? What is probation? What is that?
36 months probation. I don't know.
I mean, does that mean she can't? What can't she? Does this mean she just can't get busted for anything? I want her on the Tommy Lee probation where she can't drink or she goes to jail. Because Tommy Lee was on that for a while, where they would test him for alcohol, and if he'd been drinking, they'd just stick him in the hooscow. That's what I want her on.
It doesn't really say what the probation entails here.
Yeah.
Probably she's lost her driver's license. But here's the funniest part. The way they describe her, the 25-year-old hotel heiress, singer, actress, and handbag designer.
Uh-huh, yeah. No, she's legendary for her handbag design. I think she's not really... never mind. I was going to make a crude joke about hand and bag and hand and sack. I'm above such cheap sexual humor.
He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious.
it's fantastic.
That hurts.
No, it's great. Have you ever heard since we're getting nothing done, have you ever heard the Uncle Charlie sausage spot?
No.
All right. Let me see if I can find that.
Is that a local advertiser?
It is not. Now, it is an advertiser from, I believe, Wisconsin.
Huh.
But I'm not entirely sure about that. Let me see if I can find. Scotty, do you know where that is by chance? Scotty says, play this. He will die laughing. Let's see. Charlie's. I'll have to find this. It is an advertisement that one of our coworkers gave us, and it's from some place. It's some place back east, and it's an ad for a specific kind of sausage, and it is called. I swear to God, it's called. Here we go. Charlie's sausage. I'm going to play this for you here, and let's see if I can.
Football season has begun, and that means tailgating with Uncle Charlie sausage. When serving friends and family, you'll want to have plenty of Uncle Charlie.
Let me just say this. I'm going to play this for you here and see if you can spot the section of this that we excerpt out to play.
Football season has begun, and that means tailgating with Uncle Charlie sausage. When serving friends and family, you'll want to have plenty of Uncle Charlie sausage on hand. Give Uncle Charlie's a try, and you'll find out it just tastes better. The next time you're in the store, ask for Uncle Charlie's by name. Just say, I want my Uncle Charlie sausage.
Gee, I don't know.
How great is that?
I want my Uncle Charlie sausage.
Just say, I want my Uncle Charlie sausage.
That's all.
Let's hold on.
I'm gonna go to my local Ralph's and say that.
Hold on. Just...
Or ask for Uncle Charlie's by name. Just say, I want my Uncle Charlie sausage.
It's fantastic.
How could she read that spot and not just die?
I don't...
How could the advertiser approve that spot?
I, I don't really know the answer to that, but I will say this about Uncle Charlie Sausage.
It was delicious.
Oh. That's fantastic.
Oh, God.
We're not even doing any real news here.
Ah, so what?
Can you imagine how horrified Laura Caviezel would be if she ever actually listened into these conversations?
People do.
Oh, God. Well, hello. Hello, CNN. How are you today? All right. Well, let's talk about, I don't really care about gas prices.
You know, I have it's this expensive thing, to drive no matter where you are.
Seriously, I have this thing circled, Jim Roop, gas prices, must talk.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, this is completely unrelated, but you live in California, and I'm going to ask you, there's some breaking news here about this KDND station, the water death station.
Yeah.
We've got this now that apparently the attorney in the water drinking death has asked the FCC to pull their license. I've got it right here. An intercom representative, amazingly, could not be reached for comment at press time. But apparently, Roger Dreyer, who's the attorney for the Strange family, has asked the FCC to pull the license.
I thought that was already requested. Did this happen today? Maybe I just assumed it.
I think this just went out today. He says, our goal is to shut down trash media. The blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so he went, it's not going to happen, but he wants the FCC to pull their license. Anyway, I was talking to a friend of mine. My friend Nate and I were talking about politics last night, and I was talking to Lisa Goddard about this earlier, about some other stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And we were talking about the Republicans, and how they got nobody to put up because McCain is crazy, and Giuliani is, you know, an adulterer, and so forth, and not electable in many ways. We were talking about how perfect it would be for Schwarzenegger at some point, and he would not be able to do this directly, but for Schwarzenegger to someday, and I'm just speaking politically, I'm just speaking as a political observer, just real politics, just in terms of the sport of politics, how perfect for him to run. And the thing is, the push to amend the Constitution to allow him to run for president would be its own publicity. That's the thing. And you can already hear the speeches in his head. We are sending a message that anybody can come to America and be part of the American fabric, the American culture, and yes, even the American government. We are taking the next step towards making the American dream attainable for all citizens. And, you know, it would totally be this big, sappy, cheesy, big rainbow Hallmark thing that would totally be sappy and great Ronald Reagan-esque theater to get to modify the Constitution to let Schwarzenegger run for president. So my question to you is he generally, he's really turned himself around. I mean, people are really taking a shine to him.
Yeah, there's a lot of, well, but those who are now taking a shine to him.
Yeah. I mean, am I wrong about
that? The others who used to be in his corner have gone away. He has a whole new group of fans, and his old fans are now ticked off at him.
So is that okay? So maybe I'm wrong about that, because it seemed to me that by distancing himself from George Bush, he had held on to his base while picking up his detractors.
During the campaign. Now everybody's angry because he just pulled a 180 on taxes and a whole bunch of other stuff, and everyone's sick of his. You know, let's all be warm and fuzzy both sides of the aisle. You know, the checks and balances are gone. That's right. What a lot of people are complaining about.
And so you, I mean, do you think that he is long for that office that he's in right now, or do you think he's going to get hosed the first time a real competitor comes along?
I think he's done. I think next election he's not, he can't be reelected, can he?
Well, I don't know. I don't live there.
No, he can't.
Is it like a term limit thing?
Yeah, it's two terms.
Oh, see, I got nothing. Yeah. So what, I mean, so...
I was surprised because early on I would not have predicted this. In fact, I had a bet with another radio station in Sacramento that Schwarzenegger wouldn't be reelected. Mm-hmm. But the Democrats couldn't find anybody.
Yeah, well, that's their thing. Somebody told me that the Democrats' slogan ought to be, you know, we lose so you don't have to. That's the thing, man. I mean, they are losers. And I don't mean losers like in the sense that they're like, you know, like that, like they're in the back row with a bow tie. I mean, they're losers. They lose everything all the time. That's what made this last election so staggering, is they didn't lose for once. So
well, what's weird about Schwarzenegger now is that everybody's upset with him about his new health care proposal because it's a major tax increase.
Right.
So everybody started getting on him on that. Now he's calling it a loan.
Okay.
And so I looked at my W-2 and I said, you know how much money I loaned the government last year?
Seriously.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
But when you say loan, there's some sort of indication that it's going to be paid back to you.
That's not going to happen. That won't be taking place. All right. Well, Okay. Well, never mind.
Everything has gotten strange.
I'm just saying that at some point, man, should he ever decide to run for president, that business of amending the Constitution, that will be all the publicity he needs.
That's true.
It's self-maintaining, and it's so sappy, and it plays right into plays right into what everybody in this country is a sucker for, which is just that cheap Mr. Smith goes to Washington political sentiment. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
I would like to leave you with two thoughts.
I want my Uncle Charlie sausage.
And
he put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious.
Genius. All right. There you go, sir. In all of your travails today, if you find yourself being taxed or difficult times ahead, stressed out, I want you to think of that.
I will.
All right. Thank you, Jim Roop.
Thank you.
There you go. Jim Roop from my wife from Los Angeles. Did I lie? Is that not the best thing ever?
That is the best thing ever.
Thank you, Jen. All right. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. Let's see. We've got Aaron Duran. Oh, okay. So he sent me a thing about this Michael Jackson record. Fantastic. During the next break, I have to go dig up the rest of those cuts, too. Including the one about Michael finding the little boy laying face down. At the Ministry of Truth. The Ministry of Truth, here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, if you're feeling blue today, don't fret. This is the most depressing day of the year. It's been determined by a psychologist at Cardiff University. Dr. Cliff Arnell says that a mathematical formula which shows the confluence of post-Christmas fatigue, holiday bills, bad weather, and failed resolutions are making people depressed, and this is the worst day for it. So here's the formula in case you want to try it.
Because Sarah was needing a little pick-me-up today, so thanks for delivering that right on time.
So it's 1/8 W plus D minus D, 3/8 X, TMXNA. Why don't you try it yourself? The truth is, a lot of people feel down this time of the year, and a lot of people have depression as well, particularly men, but they don't want to talk about it. So enjoy the day. Meanwhile, mimicking the hijackers who executed the 9/11 attacks, insurgents reportedly were thinking about using student visas to slip terrorists in the United States to orchestrate a new attack on American soil. Now, this plot was discovered 6 months ago, but it's been saved just in time for the State of the Union address.
Well, that's handy, isn't it? Thank you.
Two brothers alleged that they were sexually abused as children by a Mormon home teacher who is also a Boy Scout leader. That's a lot of interest in children, isn't it?
Hard to believe.
They're filing a $6.5 million lawsuit against the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Boy Scouts of America. This fellow's name is Timur Dykes. It alleges that the church and the Boy Scouts were responsible because the man, Timur Dykes, was also an authorized representative. Dykes was later convicted of child sexual abuse, according to a lawsuit filed by Portland attorney Kelly Clark.
Not going
to
do it.
Dykes, also known as Timur Van Dykes, is listed in the County Department of Community Justice website as a predatory sex offender who gains access to victims through positions of trust, Boy Scouts, church membership, befriending single mothers, targets vulnerable boys and families, has used intimidation and threats to maintain victim compliance.
I don't understand. So he's a sexual offender, but he's a Boy Scout leader.
Yes.
Don't they check?
I don't know how many people are working at the Boy Scouts now.
That's true. You know, but when we move, we're going to be right next door to them again.
Oh.
You know, because our new studios are going to be right next door to the Boy Scout the Boy Scout headquarters there. So
that's that.
Well, okay. So there you go.
We've all seen the OSU student suffering a broken arm and lacerated kidney when that big rock smashed through his windshield when he was driving in Sweet Home over the weekend. Sean Passage is his name.
Sure, saw that.
Well, it was on the news, repeated over and over again.
Oh.
Although he's lucky to survive, he got some unlucky news that made him feel even worse. Somebody looted his abandoned pickup truck, stealing his laptop and snowboard.
This is just a whole lot of pick-me-up today.
It is.
Is this like our most depressing day of the year news pile?
It could possibly be, yes.
Fantastic. Is this Bank AM reloading
yes.
there? All right, okay.
And for our listeners in the Midwest, what's with these astronomical corn prices? Why are they so high? John Kufas of the Illinois Corn Growers Association says, why, the harvest is more than 1.8 million bushels.
So having rising prices at a time when production is good means that you have good, solid demand out there.
We need to stop depending on other countries for our corn.
So last time prices were this high was about a decade ago in the mid-90s, 1995. And at that time, the price of corn got to briefly to $5 a bushel. And that is historic highs.
America is addicted to corn, and it's got to stop.
Is he really concerned about this?
Yes.
Okay.
He's from Illinois.
Well,
it's a big deal there.
Sorry. Guess there's not a lot else to worry about in Illinois. All right. Rick, please don't use... did I use his name already? Okay, no.
Too late now.
Rick, please don't use my name. All I will say is that this is from a man. A man. Rick, please don't use my name. Just a note, my first boyfriend looked like a young William H. Macy. Wait for it. And his name was Scotty. Perhaps I shouldn't read any further. I didn't really pre-read this. Well, anyway.
Really?
I'm not going to read any further.
Maybe we should ask him about it during the suburban perspective.
Scotty, why don't you come read this email and decide whether you want me to read further.
Is this some separate scandal?
I just printed this out.
He's trying to take Scotty for his millions.
I just read...
Somebody uttered something during a bridge game.
You know... What are you talking about?
Oh, we're talking about the suburban perspective. I'm just thinking of how people live that.
Scotty is asking, is this from a guy? Yes, it's from a man. I will not use his name, but this email is from a man. Hmm. From a male listener, Scotty.
Uh-huh.
I'll just put this in the B pile. All right. Anywho, let's see. Rick, listen. I get the weirdest emails sometimes. Listen to this, Rick.
Imagine that.
Just seriously, that was so awkward. Well, should I just screw it? I'll just read the rest of it.
Yeah, just read it.
Yeah.
Rick, please don't use my name. Just a note. My first boyfriend was looked like a young William H. Macy. And his name was Scotty.
No, do you think Scotty... I thought Scotty just started going by Scotty when he became a DJ.
I don't know. This email continues. I would estimate that now he would be 42 years old. You may want to ask Scotty where he was in 1984. There may be something about those assless chaps in his, quote, brother.
Wasn't that
Oh, my God.
Wasn't that the year of the famous underwear modeling session?
Yes, it was. Yeah, that was the year that you were posing in the Speedo. Mm-hmm. He says, in case you have not guessed, I am a guy. And with all that goes on with Paris, Brittany, and Lindsay, I am glad that I am into guys. And then signed, blah, blah, blah. This one's the same used. All right. Let's move on and read this email instead. Speaking of which, by the way, just as a side note, I did get an email here full of... Aaron apologized for not being able to get the Weekend Geek done. There were some audio problems. So listen, how random is this?
Let's play last week's.
He couldn't get... No one will notice. He apologized for not getting the Weekend Geek done. So instead, he just sent me a whole folder for Paul Lynn sound bites that he found on a record somewhere. Listen to this. He said, Rick, I can't get the USB amplifiers picking up ambient noise. I can't get the Weekend Geek recorder. Blah blah blah. So to make up for it, here's some random Paul Lynn sound bites that I fell in love with. He says, because really, there's really no other way to deal with Paul Lynn sound bites than to fall in love with them. Let's hear what Paul Lynde has to say on the subject, shall we?
A whipping.
Okay. Well, that's awkward. Just listen to this email, though. We get the weirdest emails. Rick, about Helen Reddy and Tony Tennille. I am curious as to what your man thoughts are on these two gals in their prime. A group of us had a debate about Tony Tennille and Helen Reddy last night. And men found them both very, very attractive. Most of the gals found Tennille more approachable but less attractive. I can't tell if this is interesting or not.
Then the captain?
No, then Helen Reddy.
Oh.
Most of the gals found I really feel like...
Somebody asked me this the other night. What happened to Helen Reddy?
Why would somebody ask you what happened to Helen Reddy? And this suddenly feels like we're on the Mike Douglas show.
Was it you or somebody else?
No.
Somebody asked me that over the weekend.
I forgot that Helen Reddy even existed. Most of the gals found Tony Tennille more approachable but less attractive. Helen Reddy, the gals found more attractive but less approachable.
I agree with that.
Anyway...
Tony Tennille had more of a zest for living than Ellen Ray.
Anyway, Rick Emerson's input would be greatly valued. We're all spreading the word. XOXO, Pam. So there you go. So now I have to immediately look up both of them because I can't for the life of me remember what either of them look like. So I'm going to, this is gripping. So now I'm going to Google Ellen Reddy right here on the air. Oh, wait. No, I've got a, something's leaning on the keyboard. All right, hold on. Ellen Reddy. Ellen. Oh, it's in all caps.
It's not ready in the traditional sense. I believe it's R-E-D-D-Y.
Is it Y or I-E?
Y. And not ready as she's ready.
All right, okay. I'm looking at Helen Reddy right now. Let's see. I'm looking at Helen Reddy from the cover of The Best of Helen Reddy. She's got kind of a gap tooth going on there. I didn't know that. I didn't remember her having a gap in her teeth like that. Okay. Well,
I don't remember very many conversations about Helen Reddy.
Helen Reddy, I don't think anybody cares about this segment right now. Uh-uh. I think we're waist deep into a segment no one cares about. She kind of has like a Dorothy Hamill sort of a thing going on.
Well, they all did back then.
Because it was the law.
Yeah.
Helen Reddy, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I give her like a 6 out of 10. She's a solid 6. All right, and who's the other one? Tony Tennille?
Yeah.
Okay. Pamela, this is just for you. This is a one-person focus group because Pamela asked me to do this. Tony Tennille. T-N-I-L-E. Tony Tennille. All right. I am now looking at...
I always thought that she was an attractive woman back in her day.
In her prime?
Like 30 years ago.
I'm looking...
She's from the Charlie's Angels era.
Okay. I find Tony Tennille to be the more physically attractive of the two. She says, most of the gals found Tennille more approachable, less attractive. Reddy more attractive, less approachable. No. I find Tony Tennille both more attractive and more approachable.
I think everyone would.
Helen Reddy looks kind of angry. I was looking at the photo. Helen Reddy kind of has
that... Didn't she say, I am woman? That's probably why.
Is that what she's saying? Is that the big issue?
I think it was her. I think she was one of the early feminists.
Are we really spending time talking about this?
Yes.
All I'm going to say is that Helen Reddy kind of has that, I'm a model, and therefore I'm really pissed off at everything look. You know, like a lot of models have that sort of like, what, look on their face all the time? Like, they're these really, really unbelievably rich, exotic, beautiful, hot women walking in a catwalk, and they've always got this look on their face like the dog just took one on the carpet, and they're just getting a whiff of it. So, anyway. All right, well, we're done with that. Here's Tim Riley.
What was the object of that?
I have no idea. It was just a way to move off of this awkward email about Scotty and assless chaps. I'm going to put it back here so we can read it again. Read it again later right here on the Rick Emerson radio program.
He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious.
It's the cackle that really makes it creepy. Because why is that
I
funny?
Think that's a good tag for, like, Biso.
Because why would you giggle at that? Like, why would Michael Jackson giggle while reading it? And,
well, he was being coached behind the scenes with something.
Why?
To put him in the mood.
With what, Tim?
I don't know. I wasn't there at the time.
Look, you know, we've... Is that like his finishing bonus? Look, we've got a nice 9-year-old out in the car if you can finish this by 3.
Right.
Not you forfeit. Now, and why would the copy, if he was just reading the script, why would the script call for him to giggle? It's not funny. Eating a piece of candy is not an inherently funny activity. So the giggle is creepy for being completely apropos of nothing. All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Happy birthday, Ernest Borgnine. He's going to be 90 on Monday at a recent reunion of McHale's Navy, which came out like 45 years ago. The actors were appalled at the arrival of the former commandant. A driver helped Ernest Borgnine from the car. The once exuberant Commander McHale was stooped over, walking haughtily and muttering in gibberish. His former ensign, comedian Tim Conway, rushed forward and exclaimed, "Ernie, what happened to you?" Suddenly, he straightened up, threw out a massive belly laugh, and growled, "What's going on here?" Borgnine, apparently, according to this story, shows a little evidence that he's 90 years old. His round, pudgy face is a little changed. The only concession to age was abandoning the bus he used to drive around the country, talking to local kids along the way.
I don't understand anything in the story.
Well, he's talking gibberish for his birthday. I keep telling myself, damn it, I've got to get to work. But there aren't too many people who want to put Ernest Borgnine to work these days. They just keep asking me, are you alive?
There's too much in this story to deal with at once. I got to take this in bites. First of all, note that we've moved from talking about Tony Tennille and Helen Reddy to Ernest Borgnine.
Asked about today's movies, Borgnine responded, I don't like them.
First of all, why is Ernest Borgnine traveling around the country in a bus?
He used to drive a bus, apparently.
But to talk to children about what?
I don't know.
Are these children that knew they were going to be talked to by Ernest, or does he just drive along until he sees some kids?
The kids go wild, say, Ernest Borgnine is coming down the street on his bus.
It is. I mean, does he just see kids along the side of the road, and he just stops, and he uses that weird swivel arm, that weird extendo arm thing that the bus driver has to throw open the doors, hey, kids, and then they see his face, and they run away?
And
he's talking about himself in the third person there, by the way, you'll note. Okay. Okay, Ernest Borgnine still alive. By the way, I want to note this as well. This isn't a full-blown snuffwatch because I forgot to print it out, and I just don't care enough. But that Ron Carey guy from Barney Miller died. So just insert your snuffwatch. He played, what's his name, Levitt? Or is it Ron Levitt, and he played a guy named Carey?
Well, I think of John Carey.
No, I... This is the little short guy. He was the, that's his deal. He was the, as they call him, the vertically challenged cop on Barney Miller. He was,
remember that.
He was a small man, but he had heart. And I don't care that much. It's really just a cheap way to get to the obligatory Abe Vigoda joke, which now all DJs are required to make. It's like, there's some rule now. If, like, the local DJ, like the local 32 or whatever it is that we belong to, all wacky radio personalities are required to make jokes about Abe Vigoda. And,
well, they could be doing worse things with their time.
Abe Vigoda's still alive! Ow! And we have to do that like four or five times a week. I mean, I guess they could be killing people. They could be killing people and...
masquerading as Ernest Borgnine, trying to pick up kids on buses.
Do you know... Scotty is prepping us with Helen Reddy facts, by the way. She had 14 U.S. top 40 songs.
She sold, had 14 children.
She sold over 15 million albums, 10 million. So that's a lie.
More than Elvis.
Helen Reddy did not sell 15 million albums. You are lying. That is a lie, Scotty J. 10 million singles.
Is there a Time Life collection of Helen Reddy?
There's a Time Life collection of everybody.
That's when you know you're near death.
She had these hit songs, I Am Woman,
mm-hmm.
Delta Dawn,
yes.
Angie Baby. She sang No Way to Treat a Lady. I didn't know that was her.
Mm-hmm.
No way to treat a lady.
Oh, no
way to treat your baby.
Yeah.
La 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 la. And Leave Me Alone.
Leave Me Alone.
All right. Fantastic.
He put the little round object in his mouth. It was delicious.
Here's Tim Riley at the Mystery.
Why don't we just loop that and play it all night long?
that'll be our overnight program. That'll become our new weekend show.
Yeah.
Oh, we should make that our HD feed.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the feed on our HD stream. It'll just be endless clips of Michael Jackson reading from the E.T. book. All right. At the Ministry of Truth, here is Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a time for a Greek watch, a geek watch.
A Greek watch. Back to the assless chap from the Greek watch.
Is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit. You got it?
Energize.
Well, these are multiple and vast today, so let's knock them out one by one. Director J.J. Abrams has confirmed that the script for Star Trek 21, oh, that's Star Trek 11, I guess, has been completed, and it will concern Captain Kirk and Spock as very young men that began shooting this year.
Hurrah.
And that the movie is targeted for release in 2008. In an interview with Entertainment Weekly, Abrams said that the series will satisfy even non-Trekkies.
No.
On the other hand, the people who love Star Trek, the fix they get will be really satisfying, he said.
No.
I don't think so either.
You're going to please no one. It's going to be terrible. No one will like it. And they will continue to be... I mean, the horse is no longer just dead. The horse is now half-lifed away. He's flaked away into the wind. They are now just beating the horse's skeleton.
Electronic Arts today announced plans for a series of story-based Sims games called The Sims Stories. These games are tailored toward laptops. They require a very basic video card to play and have an auto-pause function to start and stop the game when the laptop is open.
to lap pot.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's a combination of an electronic board and a computer, a lap pot. The Sims Life Stories is slated for release on February 2nd. They're introducing an all-new story mode with two stories that follow the lives of Riley Harlow and Vincent Moore, two very different characters who have reached similar crossroads in their love lives. I'm trying to keep interested. The players will take the Sims through storylines filled with romance, intrigue, and dramatic twists. Will romantic lead character Riley ditch Beau number one and marry and have kids with Beau number two? We'll see. Will successful entrepreneur... I'm just getting bored as we go along here. I'm almost to the end of this. Will successful entrepreneur Vince ever find love, or the culprit who's been foiling his hard-earned efforts to find it?
Will the audience listen through to the end of the story, hoping that something entertaining will follow it?
Well, this just kind of bombs like a big thud here. Like Free Enterprise in Iraq. So buy it if you want to play this game. This is The Sims or The Sim 2 Collections. Well, here's somebody I've heard of before. Eva Mendez wants to make sure she pleases movie fans, even if that means enhancing her chest size.
Bada bing.
She made her breasts bigger for her role in the new comic book movie Ghost Rider. The stunning actress stars opposite Nicolas Cage in a new movie and is a character's love interest playing Roxanne Simpson, and who was in the original Marvel Comics, which had blonde hair, blue eyes, and a large chest.
That's hard to believe.
Latin Beauty Ava's worried about the diehard fans of the series who would object to her large brown eyes and flowing brown hair, so she made sure her boobs are big enough by gaining weight.
God, see, there you go. That's a woman who has her priorities in the right place. Because seriously, nobody's going to see a superhero. What do you think you're going to see? The dialogue? Can I see that story for a second?
Certainly.
I don't know if they have a description of, because sometimes, you can sort of see a window into why people don't take geek culture seriously.
I know it.
Let's see here. She says, blah, 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 blah. Oh, listen. Okay. I'm gonna hand this back to you, Tim, and I'm going to have you read these final two paragraphs.
All right.
If only because the second paragraph is fantastic, because it illustrates really how retarded geek culture actually is sometimes. And I say that from within. But also because I want you to use this word. All right. So I've highlighted. If you're going to read the closing...
She told Maxim magazine the original Roxanne was blonde and blue-eyed, but also had huge bazoongas.
I think that's bajunga.
Are you sure about that?
It has a J.
I pronounce it... never mind. Bajungas. If I gain weight, it goes to my boobs and my butt. I figured since I couldn't be blonde and blue-eyed, at least, well, I would have her bra size. So the bajungas got big. Now they're out of control. In the film, Cage plays that motorcyclist Johnny Blaze, who in the Marvel Universe sells his soul to Satan in order to save his life of his mentor and ends up becoming a vengeful vigilante with a flaming skull for a head.
Which just sounds retarded.
It does. Ghost Rider is set to be released in February.
Ghost Rider.
Look for it, won't you?
All right, there you go. There's your triple geek watch. We should probably break here.
After that, yes.
Yes. Come back. And
grab Thor's hammer. By the sons of Warband, I shall avenge you.
Next. Here's what I think.
Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Back after this. All right, here you go. The Rick Emerson Radio Program. We continue coming up in the next hour. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, the suburban perspective. Scotty J, and we play that Michael Jackson clip 100 more times. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio!